Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm one of your many hosts, but I am Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, guys, I certainly hope you have enjoyed your August-long weekend. You had yourself some barbecues, got outside, enjoyed this lovely weather, maybe even had a bonfire. Or maybe, if you're like me, you had a chance to check out some of the cool things happening around the streets of Toronto. And while Toronto is a place I like to more or less call my media home, and that means I've met some very interesting people along the way. People from emerging artists, musicians, and I've gotten the chance to even know some members of the busking community through my involvement with MTV Creeps. But this guy, I'm getting a chance to talk to because he's involved in the Toronto YouTube community. You may have heard of this guy. He's done a little something called Batman's Night Out. Most recently, he's been doing these awesome superhero parodies on YouTube. I'm talking about YouTube content creator and all-around awesome guy, Sean Ward. And without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Sean to the show.
Feeling it. Oh, man. What an intro. Thank you.
I like to think I've got a little bit of that showman pizzazz.
Spades, my friend.
So, Sean, this has been a long time coming because I've actually been a huge fan of your work since, obviously, Batman's Night Out hit Toronto.
Oh, my God. That went off like an atomic bomb.
Yeah, and it's over something like several million hits by now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's not even the biggest hit. But, yeah, that particular one is at like 2.6 right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal just the fact that, you know, a Canadian who isn't Justin Bieber is managing to find uber amounts of success without having to make really, really shitty music. So I guess, Sean, for those of my listeners that aren't necessarily familiar with your work, let's get the Sean Ward origin story.
Well, it was a fateful day when a magic alien handed me a crystal sphere and said, "If you believe in it, it'll believe in you." And it began to manifest many things in my life. That's a very colorful way of telling the story. The literal truth of it is that I just always grew up having the feeling that I'm supposed to be like creating and telling stories and, you know, doing little comedy things. So, you know, childhood for me was a lot of making my own comic books at the dinner table and making my own video game systems out of cardboard and cutting out little cartridges and drawing all the cover art and stuff. And, you know, toys that I didn't have, the actual toys, I'd make them out of cardboard or cereal boxes or whatever. A lot of that kind of got funneled into my creativity. But the big one was that I was playing with Lego, and, you know, instead of just having stuff happen, I would make a movie set and have stuff happen with little Lego cameras and little Lego directors and this kind of thing. So I just always wanted to make comics and make movies. So I went through, you know, regular kind of people, go to school, go to high school. I didn't go to college or nothing, but, like, you know, worked a couple jobs here or there and stuff until that fateful day when it all changed. And what happened was that I had recently, you know, broken up with a girlfriend and started taking a new look at my life, and was thinking about, you know, I'm here at this job, and it started occurring to me that the track I was on wasn't really taking me in the directions that I wanted to go in terms of making movies and making comic books. So it's just something about that particular day, I started catching on to the idea about how, like, time's going by and it's never going to repeat, and, like, time gone is time spent and you can never see it again. So I just had this sense of urgency that kicked in, and this just sense of having lost time to make up for. So I immediately started making comic books. That was my first foray into entertainment. I made a lot of comic books. Go down to Queen Street here in Toronto, sell them on the street to strangers, sell enough of them that I can pay the rent on my little cubbyhole of a room that I was living in. From there, built up, you know, the mystique around it and started making videos. And this is around the time that YouTube first started coming out, is that I was making my own little videos that were like almost like the Monkees TV show, almost like these fictionalized, you know, comedy-minded kind of parody stories of what was going on behind the scenes that influenced my comic book stories that I would act in and my friends would act in and stuff. And we started putting these like on a screen. We'd book like a nightclub or some kind of cool little artsy kind of venue and have these underground movie screenings, very Andy Warhol that way. And that sort of got certain TV people knowing who I was. And I spent a couple of years working on a TV show called Ed's Night Party. You might remember Ed the Sock. And then from there, there was a lot of talk about kind of doing my own TV show and a lot of this kind of thing. But just as sometimes happens in the entertainment business, I was just sort of chewed up and spit out kind of thing. A lot of the ideas that I had put places or trusted people with, those people ended up, you know, we learn the hard way about people sometimes, right? So I just didn't have the right people around me at that time. But there was a little bit of a 40 days and nights in the desert kind of thing around my next couple of years of just sort of like assessing now, okay, I had this kind of crest and wondering what I'm going to do next. And out of nowhere, this chance meeting, I met a guy who had a cool Batman costume that did like, you know, birthday parties and pictures on the street with tourists for change and stuff. And we did the Batman's Night Out video together, and it went huge. And the rest is kind of history that you can see in my Draw My Life video. But from there, it went to Spider-Man versus Batman, which was our next big hit, and that's our most popular video to date. And then I've even done stuff like, aside from Batman, so we had the Spider-Man and Santa Claus Christmas video that was very popular. We had the superhero street hockey game, where we had Chicago Bane come all the way up from Chicago to be the captain of the villains team in the hockey video. And now we've spent kind of a good chunk of the last kind of spring and into the summer sort of getting ready for a couple of really big videos that we want to put together for this coming autumn. So we got plans to shoot some video around Fan Expo time, got a few ideas for stuff we want to do kind of later in the fall, starting to think ahead to what we want to do for Christmas. We've even got a few ideas in the hopper for when Game of Thrones comes back in the spring. So, a lot going on. Feel very blessed, feel very much, I'm going to be totally honest and sincere here, feel very much like I'm kind of living a version of the childhood dream that I couldn't have even predicted or planned for because it didn't exist back when I was dreaming all this stuff. But then this YouTube thing happened, and I was able to, dare I say, do something with it. And it's been a lot of fun, and every single time I feel blessed that, you know, people are watching and people are interested. And that's put me on your radar, and now here we are having just this lovely and delightful chat with you and I and your whole audience out there.
Now, Sean, since this whole YouTube thing came to be, and like you said, you're living a version of the dream, how accessible do you think it is for young filmmakers to do things like you're doing now, like with like ad things like Springboard and Blip and YouTube? Do you think we're going to see a change in the way films are now made?
Well, the change that's happening is not so much that films are made, because films are always going to be made. And short films, there's certain conventions that work for that medium. What's changing is the venues in a big way, right? Like huge $250 million Avengers, Superman, Batman, Star Trek. These kind of movies are always going to be made that way. The spectacle will get bigger, and the number of people who see them all at once will either get bigger or be about the same or whatever. But they're always going to figure out new ways to make that bigger and more spectacular. But what's happening is that for pretty much any other genre that does not rely on spectacle to that degree, there's better avenues. The internet has created better avenues for the distribution of those ideas. So there's kind of two things happening, and I hope I don't get a little ahead of myself with this. It's kind of a little bit of a bigger idea, I think, is that people who are used to, especially maybe like, you know, the older people who can remember that, you know, the internet entering our lives, right? You got a generation of people who have now come of age that don't remember the internet ever not being there. They've just grown up with that's the world we live in, right? There's an older generation that remembers not having the internet. And sometimes that can spawn a fondness that turns into nostalgia, that turns into, you know, kind of a fuddy-duddiness of, like, believing that things have to be a certain form. And that's when you'll hear people talking about, you know, the lamenting the fact that, you know, small to medium-sized movies don't do so well in certain avenues of distribution. It's like, yeah, but put it on Vimeo and watch it go crazy on the internet overnight, right? It's just the internet has really made it so that there's a platform now for any kind of good idea, and there's many, many more forms that that idea can take. So that's what's one of the things that's so exciting about, you know, the generation that's coming up now, and just sort of seeing the world that they're, like, they're shaping as the internet generation is kind of growing up and kind of taking over, you know, their roles in the world, is seeing this approach of just, like, the idea is what's important. Let me just try whatever to get that idea out there. And it's all about being prolific, and it's all about iterating, and it's all about just really trying to find what it is you have to say and throwing it out there a million different ways. And you do that, it's just like the classic lesson that's never gone out of style and it'll be timeless forever, is just to be prolific, focus on what you're good at, like all those things we've heard a million times, but to take real balls and courage to put into practice and develop as habits day to day. And yeah, it's just all about being prolific and sharing your voice and putting yourself out there. And for a lot of people, that's exciting, and it's fun to watch those people have success with it.
Now, one of the things, Sean, you just kind of said something there that really just got me thinking here. Because you've said this is the generation that's growing up with the internet, never having had it not in their lives before, what do you think about the rise of YouTube celebrities and stars? Because you're fairly well known on the internet. I'm presuming you've been recognized in Toronto more than once.
Oh, plenty of times. But that's also because people recognize me from different worlds, right? Certain people recognize me from back in my comic book kind of career. People recognize me from my TV career and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it all kind of coalesces.
What do you think about that? I mean, like, how does that change basically our culture? And what I mean by that is more people, I mean, especially young people, they can relate more to personalities like, say, Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic,
oh, yeah,
Aaron Hansen as, like, Ego Raptor, et cetera, et cetera. How do you think that impulse, or that impacts the next generation of creative minds that are coming up on this YouTube medium?
Well, I just love it because there was never anything like YouTube before. I mean, I'm maybe got a couple of years on you here, so I actually remember being in high school and the internet, people had it, but we didn't have it in my house yet. And YouTube wasn't around yet at this time. But like me and my friends, we used to make our own comic books and make our little camcorder movies and stuff. And who knows what kind of thing could have happened if we would have had that resource of just that extra step of being able to post it online easily and simply. And, you know, the sky's the limit where that stuff can go. What's great about this idea of YouTube celebrity and online celebrity is that it's accessible and anybody can do it. You really can. What I really love is to think about, I mean, not really thinking about the lost time aspect, but when I think about the fact that any hiccup or misstep I've made in my career, it's always been when I let somebody else sell me on the idea that they know what they're doing because they've got the experience in the, you know, more traditional media industry, right? And it's always when I stuck to my guns and did what I kind of had a hunch about, the new way, the digital way, that I was doing really well, right? And so just the fact that people can just get going, and it's just the ultimate equalizer because there's nothing stopping you but your own inertia and your own determination. You know what I mean? That's what's the most exciting thing about YouTube celebrity and any kind of online celebrity is that anybody can do it. You know.
Now with that, with the ability to do self promotion, things like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, how do you think that kind of changes people getting exposed to stuff? Because I notice you are tremendously active on social media.
Oh, I just try to, yeah, just put shit out there and kick ass. Oh, I love the exchange. I love the interaction, right? I love comments, and I love replying to comments and commenting on other people's stuff. It's just, it's a world you live in, right?
Now, with that interactivity, how do you think that kind of changes things too? Because once again, when, like, I'm 31 years old, so how much older am I or younger than you, Sean?
Oh, you're just a couple years younger than me.
Okay, so back when we were younger, if there was criticism, it was thrown out there. No one knew what you were really saying. You might get the odd internet post, but now we have instant responses via Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. How do you think that kind of changes things up now that filmmakers and other creative minds get sometimes occasionally really good feedback, and more often than not, douchebags on YouTube.
Well, I think people are, by and large, always doing a better and better job of fine-tuning their bullshit detector. And, you know, there's always going to be trolls, and there's always going to be people that feed the trolls, which is why there's always going to be trolls, right? But people who are going to get their stuff done, more and more people are going to realize that that's not something to get hung up on and waste your time on, right? And that's really what it comes down to. But as far as how it changes media, I mean, the fact that it gives everybody a voice is crazy. One thing that I think we need to throw out there, though, is that we're in a bit of a golden age right now of the fact that this is all new, right? It's more established now even than when it just came out a few years ago, the whole kind of social media revolution. But as time goes on, the companies and big money are going to do a better job of controlling, not controlling it in the sense of, you know, it's exclusive and the way TV and radio was, that, you know, it was a very much a closed system. They're never going to be able to close the system, but they are going to do a better and better job of monopolizing people's attentions. And so that's why it's really important to, like, get in and jump in now. And everybody who has anything to say on the topic of, you know, getting going, either your self-help gurus or your productivity experts or whatever, you know, a lot of these kind of people that are online, a big part of what they have to say is always get moving now, because the time you're putting in on stuff, it's going to compound, and you want to be putting, you know, investments of your time into those areas now, because later on it just means more competition is going to be there, you know.
And speaking of kind of investing your time and how things are kind of moving along now, especially in online things, what do you think, Sean, about the people and companies that are making a switch towards kind of streaming stuff like, say, Netflix taking a chance on original series and even bringing back television shows?
I think that's absolutely brilliant, because the whole distinction between a TV show or a movie or a web series, that's what's breaking down. And it's just content is content, some's longer than others, and for the really, really, really big stuff that there's a lot of money behind it, you'll have to go, you'll always be able to go and buy a ticket to see a much bigger presentation of it than what you got in your house. But this whole thing of just content being content is what's really exciting.
Now, Sean, as my final questions to you, where do you think things are going to be a year from now, 5 years from now, and then 10 years down the road? Because I do consider you, just over the course of this conversation, a bit of a YouTube futurist, because you seem to have latched on, you found something that works at just the right time. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on things.
Well, a year from now, really, because things are changing so fast, it's almost just hard to even predict that. It's almost easier to predict the long-term future than it is to predict the short-term future. I don't know. I think that kind of the social thing is out there. The cat's out of the bag. And it's almost like when the bag first opened up, all of the stuff came rushing out of it. And so there was a lot of it at once, new platforms, new tools built on top of the new platforms. But I think people have kind of gotten to a point, by and large, where we have certain platforms where we do certain kinds of interaction, we like those, we're comfortable with those, we know those. So I think the next year is going to be sort of a year of getting more interested in what people are doing with it, rather than just that they're using it, or how many of them they can use, or how fast they can get on the new one, or stuff like that. You know, that's what I'd like to see, maybe, at least, is just more of an emphasis on what you're doing with the tools, as opposed to just, you know, showing off that you got the tools, or you got more of the tools, or you got the tools earlier. That's what I'd like to see in a year. 5 years, I think we're now starting to get to the point where they're finally catching on to the idea that appointment viewing, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, is out of here. It's probably an on-demand world by that point. 10 years, who can say? But 10 years, it could be as nutty as, you know, people have opted to move into these private enclaves where, you know, the internet's free but ad-supported, and, you know, just their viewing habits are chomped up and turned into random data, because computers can't generate true randomness, right? So maybe people's viewing habits become this random number generator for all kinds of algorithms, and who knows? It's just it's going to go. 10 years is so far off because things are changing so fast. 10 years might as well be 100 years if you'd asked me that question even a couple decades ago, you know?
Mm-hmm, just because technology moves so fast and we as people adapt to it so fast.
Yeah, like for you, like, what do you want to do with your show and your business like 5 and 10 years out? Like, what do you see for yourself at that point?
See, ideally, I would love to see being, once again, that sort of on-demand thing where people can download my show. I'm paid per download, and that's the ad model. Where basically, hey, I've been picked up by this network. Hey, awesome, here's your stuff. And then it's a true measurement of metrics where you serve the audience in that particular niche, which means targeted advertising works.
Yeah, targeted advertising is the way of things now, and it's great, especially with a platform like YouTube, because, you know, they take care of that. That's going to be a whole other conversation for a whole other podcast episode for you. Like, maybe you want to do it as a panel discussion 8 months down the road. Is just as people start to clue in that, you know, you start to meet more people that have got, you know, that are building a business on YouTube. But as they all clue into the fact that YouTube takes 45% off the top, you know, is that ever going to reach a breaking point? Is there going to be, could anything ever come along and knock YouTube off the block in terms of accessibility and opportunity for people? Who knows? But it's a lot of interesting questions out there.
It's definitely going to be an interesting thing to watch as things unfold. So, Sean, as my final question to you, what is coming up for the Sean Ward Show between now and the end of the year?
Oh, man, let me give you a few scoops here. Well, it's not a scoop, but you already know I'm going to be here in Toronto. Anybody from Toronto can come see me at the Black Swan Comedy Club on Saturday, August 17th. I'm in Fan Fiction, the show's Batman edition. That's going to be a lot of fun. You heard about that one?
I have not. Do tell.
This is a live show they do once a month with a different theme. So last time it was Sailor Moon. And I actually went and saw it because a friend was in it. And so they get fan fiction off the internet, and then they act it out on stage with full costumes and props and everything. And it's a lot of fun, and they always bring celebrity guests. So for the Batman edition, they've got two of the cast members from Scott Pilgrim, the Scott Pilgrim movie. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, we're getting into some of the new things we got coming up on the channel, which include, we got an epic DC vs. Marvel flash mob video we're working on for Fan Expo. Don't want to say much more than that. We got an LCBO rap video coming out. We got a Game of Thrones thing we're working on. I got a comic book themed, more of a less comedy, more of a straight up fan film thing that I've got in mind to come out early next year. And then, like I said, we're already writing down our best Game of Thrones jokes for when that comes back. So YouTube.com, The Sean Ward Show, people can check it out. YouTube parodies, comedy, rap videos, the whole thing.
Excellent, Sean. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what else you've got coming up for us this summer and for the rest of the year on YouTube. Now, guys, check out the links below to see more Sean stuff. I'm actually going to post his life video, which he talked about everything that we didn't get a chance to talk about in this conversation, because, hey, I want him to get the views. Mm-hmm. More money in his pocket is better.
Thank you. Also, there's everybody. Every Monday, I do my shout-out video, so comment on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, any of those, and I just pick comments and reply to them in person on the video every Monday on my vlog channel.
Excellent stuff. All right, Sean, well, definitely thank you for taking the time to speak with us today on This Week in Geek.
Thanks so much for having me. To Mike, all the geekers out there, thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon, I hope.
All right, guys, well, that was my interview with Sean Ward. Definitely go check out his stuff. Some very funny stuff. I pitched him an idea before the show started, so who knows? If it comes out there, I'm sure he'll mention me. But anyway, guys, lots of cool stuff coming up on the show this week. We are continuing our Twig Talk shows, which are tending to do weekly now with me, Scotty, and Dr. Holocaust, Toronto's greatest supervillain. I'll have to pitch him at Sean Ward after this. So anyway, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on This Week in Geek.net.
Birdman!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.